Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Heart and Soul, Reflections on Purpose, Passion, and Perseverance. I'm Jory Fisher, your host, and joining me today, March 24th, 2010. And every week at this time is my friend co-host, Beth Simpani.
Welcome, everybody. I hope you're having a great week.
Yay, Beth. I'm glad you're there. That would have been a little disconcerting.
I'm here.
Yay. All right. Well, today, not only do we have Beth, but we also have the privilege of interviewing author and freelance editor Fran Stewart. Welcome, Fran.
Oh, I'm just dancing to your music here in the background. I'm looking forward to this.
Dare I ask you what kind of dance you're doing?
Well, since I'm sitting at the telephone and at my computer, it has to be chair dancing.
But oh, well, okay. Well, that's always good, too. So, well, anyway, well, welcome everybody to Heart and Soul. It's great to have you here. So, Beth, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It is a cold, cloudy, rainy, windy day in Rockport, Massachusetts, but I can see the ocean and the seagulls flying, and that's a pretty good day.
You know, I never told you that my husband Dave loved anyway, fishing in Rockport. Apparently it's a big place for that. Have you ever done that?
No, I don't fish, but many people do, and they love it here.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah. So how was your week?
Well, as listeners may recall, if they listened to the show last week, I had a very bad sore throat last week, and my voice is still a little scratchy. My apologies to you, Fran, and to our listeners. So this week I actually was working on just getting better, and I'm still on the mend, but I did read an article in the newspaper this morning, which stressed me out just a little bit because for the past 10 days since I'm sick, I haven't been able to even get out and walk. So what do I read in the newspaper this morning? But 1 hour workouts are necessary to fight flab. Now, this is very distressing, Beth and Fran, because I had just read articles a few weeks ago that said, hey, do a little here, you know, 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, and you'll be fine. And now I'm getting this 1 hour workout thing. Let me tell you what it said. Rev up the treadmill. Sobering new research spells out just how much exercise women need to keep the flab off as they age, and it's a lot. At least an hour of moderate activity a day is needed for older women at a healthy weight who aren't dieting. For those who are already overweight, and that's most American women, even more exercise is called for to avoid gaining weight without eating less, the study results suggest. So this is not a very happy thing to read when I was bemoaning the fact that I've just been sitting around for 10 days getting no exercise whatsoever.
So Jory, ignore it. You are spending time giving your body a chance to heal.
Oh.
Who needs to exercise when you're doing that, for heaven's sakes?
Right.
Anyway, I've read other studies that said that only 20% of the result of weight loss is directly due to exercising, that 80% of it is what you put in your mouth.
Okay, well, that's even worse.
But at least that we can control better, I think, than the
okay.
exercise. Just, if it's cold and rainy, we don't want to go running outside up and down.
Exactly, exactly. Well, for thank you, Fran. That was a little kiss to me. I appreciate that. A little hug. And so I will choose to ignore it for now and choose not to feel bad about it. And so there you have it, everybody. So
When it's time for you to exercise, you'll exercise.
It'll exactly, happen. Exactly. And I usually love to exercise, which is why not doing anything for 10 days makes me feel a little bit, But anyway, Beth, how are you?
I'm great, and I'm just listening to this thinking, Jory, be sure to be here next week when we talk to Gail Jones about beliefs. Because beliefs also have a lot to do with our health. You know, what we believe about exercising, what we believe about eating, what we believe about all of that, our bodies. So, Jory, make a list of some of those beliefs.
I will, and what we believe about what we read in the newspaper.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's why I don't have a TV set. I threw out my TV set 16 years ago, and I have never regretted it.
Is that right?
Because I don't get all that negative stuff. I mean, every commercial I've ever seen is negative.
Mm.
It's trying to convince me that I'm not the person I would like to be.
Yeah.
That I'm
so what about all those magazines we see in the rack at the grocery store? I bet you don't get those either.
I don't.
Yeah.
I subscribe to Mother Earth News. That's about it.
Well, that's great. Thank
yeah.
you, Fran.
I sound like a boring person, don't I?
No. And as we get into the interview, everybody will be absolutely persuaded, like halfway into it, that you're anything but a boring person. So Beth, tell me about your week. Anything we need to know?
Oh, absolutely. I really had an amazing week. It was I was definitely more in tune with my intuition.
Yay.
After having Tara here last week, Tara Roth, which, by the way, if anyone's listening and they haven't listened to that show on March 17th with Tara Roth, it was a great show. You can listen to the archive. And I can share a little bit more later about my experiences with intuition this week. But the big, 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 really big news this week for me is that I'm going to Israel in April. Yow! I have never been there before, and I'm actually going to be assisting Tim Kelly, who's the founder of the True Purpose Process that Jory and I both coach in, to help a group of Israeli business leaders to find their higher purpose. So how cool is that? You know, Tim's been doing amazing work globally, and particularly in Israel, to help leaders find their higher purpose and to change the world in that way. That's his purpose. And so...
Yep.
It's a really, really big deal for me, and I'm very excited.
It's a big deal for the True Purpose community. It's just a big deal for all of us, Beth. You're so humble about it, but we're very, 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 very proud of you, and it's just great that you were selected and that your trusted source, for those of us who know what we're talking about, that your trusted source said, yes, Beth, go to Israel, and I applaud you for following what your trusted source is telling you to do. Hallelujah. It's great.
Thank you.
Well, let me go ahead and welcome again our faithful participants and give an especially warm welcome to those of you who are listening today for the first time. We invite you to create a show with us that you'll want to listen to each and every week. Our vision, this is for Beth and me, is to create a place, number one, where you can be assured you have a unique and special reason for being on this earth. Number two, where you can gain some insight into what that reason might be. And number three, where you can be inspired, encouraged, and supported by people who are making a meaningful difference in their own lives and in the lives of others. Our motivation for hosting Heart and Soul is our deep desire to fulfill and express our respective life purposes, which for both Beth and me includes helping you discover who you are and how you're meant to use your gifts and talents in the world around you. Beth, at this point, would you please say a little bit about the format of our show, especially for those who haven't listened before?
Absolutely. And I know that you're all excited to hear from Fran, but we want to just go through a couple of logistics first for people who may be listening the first time. Just to know that our shows can vary from 45 to 60 minutes. They've been tending towards 60 minutes. But you can either listen live or on demand, meaning in the archives that are carried at blogtalkradio.com. So if you want to listen live by telephone, it's noon Eastern Time, 9 Pacific, every week, and the number is 347-326-9296. And to listen online, you just go to blogtalkradio.com and type in Heart and Soul in the search box. And then just when you see it come up, you just click on Heart and Soul, the words Heart and Soul, and then click on the name of the live episode. And if you want to join our live chat room today or join in an on-air conversation, you need to register at blogtalkradio.com first. And just click on register when you go to blogtalkradio.com, fill out your name and your email address, look for an email confirmation, and you'll be able to join us live in the chat room. If you want to listen to any archived episodes, for example, Tara's or any of the others, we had Heather Floyd, type Heart and Soul, Heart and Soul in the search box and click on Heart and Soul. And then just select the episode that you want to hear. And remember, too, that you can always download the episodes. You can download them to an MP3 or to iTunes, and you could even send those on to others that you think might enjoy the show, and I really hope that you will.
Mm-hmm. We encourage you to do that. Well, thanks, Beth. And in a few minutes, I'm going to ask Beth, please, to recap the Purposeful Exploration Practice, or PEP, proposed by Tara Roth, the fabulous intuitive coach that we interviewed last week. And then we're going to ask you, if you would, to kindly share what you learned from your intuitive experience. So please, would you kindly send us your comments or questions now by using the chat room function or by calling us at 1-347-326-9296, 347-326-9296, and pressing 1 if you wish to speak with us. And don't worry, you can speak with us privately without being on air. I'll then introduce and interview our wonderful guest, Fran Stewart, who will share with us how she's living a purposeful life, as well as the therapeutic benefits of reading and writing creatively. During the interview with Fran, Beth will monitor the chat room and phones to see if you have any questions or comments for our guest. And then after the interview, Fran will set you up for this week's Purposeful Exploration Practice. We'll then close with a sneak preview of the next edition of Heart and Soul coming up on Wednesday, March 31st. Beth?
Great. Okay. So as Joy said, I'm just going to recap the last week's Purposeful Exploration Practice. And if you've listened to any of these shows or you're listening to this one, what you'll find is that every week we give you some coaching tips. And then you can try out those coaching tips during the week. We hope you will. And see how you can move your life toward what you want to create, something purposeful, something passionate, something that's a dream for you. So what Tara Roth asked people to do last week was to think about three questions and journal about them. She asked you to think about what you tell yourself about your ability to access your intuition. So what do you tell yourself? What beliefs do you have about your ability to access your intuition? Number two was, what is it about your intuition that might frighten you? And what is it about your intuition that excites you? So she asked you to do a little exploration on that. And then the other thing she suggested was that you play what she calls the I wonder game and make notes about what comes up for you. So, for example, I wonder what color my boss will be wearing today. You know, I wonder if anyone will call me on the phone this morning. I wonder if I'll get a surprise email from someone I haven't heard from in a long time. I wonder, and then just see what comes and pay attention and make notes, because when we do put out our antenna for something and we do pay attention, we find that there's a lot more coming to us than we ever had imagined. And so we really want to hear from you if you have something to share with us on that. So if you do, you can participate via the chat room, or you could also call. But in the meantime, Jory, what is up for you that purposeful exploration exercise this week?
Yeah, well, actually, I'm thinking of a couple things. Beth, do you remember when you called me, you moved on your own intuition, your own prompting?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Jory, I don't know why I'm calling you, but...
I mean, not that it's unusual that we talk to each other, but I think what was unusual was that you just did it for no particular reason. It wasn't like, okay, Jory, let's plan next week's show. It was just, I feel like I need to call you. And, you know, I just want to say it was so nice to receive that phone call, because it really was, hey, Jory, I'm checking in. Mm-hmm. It wasn't for a, you know, set purpose. And it just made me feel really good that you would do that. I think it helped bond our friendship, which is already strong, even more, that you would do that, that you would follow your intuition, and that your intuition was telling you to call me because, as I've already said, ad nauseum, I haven't been feeling well, and it was just nice to hear your cheerful, sweet voice cheering me up. So that was one thing I wanted to share. And the other I wanted to share, I actually focused on the first question, what do you tell yourself about your ability to access your intuition? Because really there's nothing about my intuition that frightens me, which was the second question. And the third question is, what is it about your intuition that excites you? And I guess since I just lived with it so long and accepted, I can't say that there's anything that really excites me, but I could certainly talk about what is it what do I feel about my ability, or what do I believe about my ability to access it? And I am a highly intuitive person, at least according to Myers-Briggs. I'm an ENFJ, and the N, which is for intuition, is quite strong. So I accept it, and actually my belief is that it's a gift from God. So I accept my intuition as a part of who I am, that it's a gift from God, and when I am nudged to do something via my intuition, I feel as if it's God really doing it. And an example of that is last Friday morning, I had a day ahead of me of coaching calls, and I was expecting a call, expecting to speak with a brand new client, and I just had a hunch, I had an intuitive hit that it was going to be a strong connection. And even though this was a person that I don't ordinarily coach, what I'm trying to say is he's an ex-offender, and I don't ordinarily coach ex-offenders who've recently been released from prison. It's not that I refuse to do it. That doesn't make up the bulk of my clientele. But I woke up that morning and I was like, you know, I have a feeling this is going to be an excellent conversation. And indeed it was. I mean, we had such a connection, even though I could barely talk because my voice is so messed up. It was a very powerful connection. I knew it was the right thing. So I would say that that was a pretty strong intuitive hit for me. Mm. Beth, what do you think about what I just said?
I think it's awesome in a couple different ways. You know, one is that you're very comfortable with it and you feel that it flows through you, and then you act on it. Because as we act on our intuition, it gets stronger and clearer. And then when you act on it, it was not only a service to you, but a service to the person that you are going to be working with. So I think that's wonderful. And the active part of it is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I called you, instead of saying, oh, well, I have nothing to talk to Joy about, you know, I'll just ignore that little hit. Just to say, okay, no, I got the hit, I'm following up. And you know, whether or not we know why that was, or whether it was an intuitive hit or just a feeling, who knows, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Get the hit and then you act.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get stronger connection to your intuition.
Beth, are you familiar with, or Fran, is either one of you familiar with Send Out Cards?
Yes.
Yes.
I love it. And one of the things that Kobe talks about, he's the originator of it, the president, the founder, I'm not sure what the word is, but is that we should act on promptings. And if we get a prompting, which to me is intuition, mm-hmm. a prompting that we need to send a card to somebody, then just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that a lot. You know, just if I sense somebody needs to be cheered up, or just, you know, to receive maybe an anniversary card or a birthday card or a, hey, I'm thinking of you card. And I do that fairly often. And it's so nice when I get responses back from people saying, you know, I really, really appreciated that. And even if I don't get a response back, hey, that's okay. I know I've done the right thing.
Great. Well, I had an incredible intuitive experience this week, and it was great. I definitely had my antenna up. I was looking for examples of how my intuition shows up, and also about what my beliefs are about that, as Tara mentioned. And I really have had a great intuitive moment, which not only helped me step into intuition in a different way, but also really brought forward the beliefs that I have.
Hmm.
About intuition and how I actually might be blocking out opportunities to tune in, you know, the interference or the static that my belief system might actually put in front of me. So I know we don't have a lot of time. I'm just going to briefly say that I was in an intuitive workshop this weekend, this past
mm-hmm.
week, which I had planned some weeks ago, way before Tara. I must have had an intuition that I was going to need an intuitive example. But this was one of the exercises that this woman had us do, is that she had us take a personal object from someone. She gave us a personal object, and we were to hold it, not think about it, not judge it, just go with whatever comes to our, you know, to our mind or however we receive our intuition, and then share with that person what we get.
Hmm.
And so immediately my belief is, oh, I can't do this. You know, I'm going to embarrass myself. I don't want to do this. I don't get that kind of intuition. And so as a result, not only did I become really distracted, people's voices in the room that I never heard during the workshop all of a sudden were loud, and they were distracting me, and I got totally blank. It's just because I'm believing I can't do it, right?
Oh, man.
So I moved to another room, and I said, okay, I'm just going to try to really be with this. And I played the I Wonder game, and I said, I wonder what I'd get if I believed, just for a moment, that I could do this. And so I closed my eyes, and I just tried to be with it, and I described to this woman when she got the object, who it was from, who else was around it, and a number of specific other details. They kept coming to me, and I kept saying, no, I'm making this up, I'm making this up.
Whoa.
Nope, I'm only supposed to just go with the flow.
Yeah.
You know? And I said she got it on her birthday, and it was her grandmother's, and just a whole bunch of different things. Every single thing I said was on, spot on.
No way.
Yes way.
Okay, the hair on my arms is standing up.
Yes way.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
We were both just totally amazed. I was shocked. And, yeah, so here I was believing I couldn't do it, and I couldn't believe it, but I got it spot on. So maybe I have
hey, Fran,
different
I'm
purpose.
Really glad that we're interviewing you today, because it's not going to be long before Beth is going to drop me as co-host and then have some kind of traveling magic show that's going to go around the world.
You know, I completely believe what she said, though, because I've had experiences like that, and one of the most striking ones was with a dog.
Tell me.
But I was interested in animal communication, and I took a course from Amelia Kincaid. I had to drive from Atlanta up to Nashville to take it. It was a weekend course. And on the Sunday, the last day of the course, a woman had brought her, who did not know Amelia Kincaid, had brought her dog to the class. And she said, I just want to communicate better with my dog. And Amelia said, well, let's all do it. So she had taught us how to sort of zero in, much like holding an object and just letting your mind open. Well, we sat there in great respect for the dog. And Amelia said, okay, you know, we'll ask a few questions, you know, ordinary things. What color is your dog food bowl and stuff like that? I couldn't get that one at all. But then she said, all right, who is your favorite human aside from mom here? And immediately into my brain flooded short leg man, blue fuzzy sweater. And when I said that out loud, after we had gone through the whole exercise, the woman who was the dog's mom, tears came to her eyes.
Wow.
And she said, that's my husband. He had a stroke a couple of years ago, and he survived, but he walks with a limp.
Oh.
And so one leg appears to be shorter than the other. And Amelia said, does he wear a blue fuzzy sweater? And she said, no, he wears a blue fuzzy vest.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
So,
okay,
you know, where did I get that from?
I don't
know. The woman. I didn't know the dog. I didn't even know Amelia before that weekend. So.
Yep. So.
It's possible.
Whoa.
So much is possible, and we close our minds to it.
Yes, yeah. And if you notice, Fran, we just said the same words at the same time.
Yep.
Okay, so moving on.
Oh, well. Okay. This is a little Twilight Zone-y for me.
yeah. So, you know,
but it's cool.
Bridging between, you know, Tara and talking about intuition and beliefs in our lives. You know, my beliefs about I can't do this, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think I'll embarrass myself. So, you know, I would say pay attention this week to what beliefs are coming up in your life, whether it has to do with your intuition or anything else in your life. In preparation for next week, what is it that you're believing? And then you might even play the I wonder game with that. Well,
mm-hmm.
okay, I wonder what belief would work better for me in this situation. Or I wonder what I could do in this situation if I didn't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, where I said, okay, well, I wonder, you know, what I'd get if I thought I could do this. So just put the question out there and see what comes. So that's my share.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Well, let's move on.
The exercise I'm coming up with at the end of this program is going to fit right into that.
Oh, perfect.
I can't wait.
Well, you must have had an intuitive hit. Okay. Well, I'm gonna get real formal on us now. It is my distinct pleasure to introduce freelance editor and mystery writer Fran Stewart. I came to know Fran last year when she and I were radio show hosts in Voice America Variety. Fran, you were a huge help as I launched Heart and Soul, and I just want to thank
My
you
pleasure.
So much for getting us to this point.
Very
so
nice.
Anyway, more about Fran. Fran's Biscuit McKee Mystery Series features a small town librarian, Biscuit, and the orange library cat, Marmalade. Each of her books deals with a specific social issue, such as suicide prevention, bipolar disorder, or the ethical treatment of animals. Fran also writes a monthly column for the Atlanta Writers Club eQuil, which are now available in book form called From the Tip of My Pen, a Workbook for Writers. Fran believes in encouraging other writers through both her editing work and her weekly newsletter. For fun, Fran sings alto, knits, laughs a lot, and writes for the sheer joy of it. She lives next to a creek on the backside of Hog Mountain, Georgia, with an assortment of rescued indoor cats, and she donates a portion of all book sales to libraries and to the Humane Society. Fran, it's wonderful to have you on our show today. Thank you for already participating, and we look forward to your interview.
I'm so excited about this. Yeah.
Oh, good. Welcome, welcome. Now, I love how you describe yourself and your website, and I think it relates beautifully to how you're living a purposeful life. So would you please tell us a little bit about how you do that? Well, first of all, let's say what your website is.
FranStewart.com, and
there
Stewart
you go.
Is S-T-E-W-A-R-T.
Thank you. All right, so people can look at that, and as you're describing it, go ahead and tell us what you do on your website about how to describe Fran Stewart.
Well, it was kind of a schoolgirl approach to figuring out how to express who and what I am. I took the letters of my name and decided what each one of those letters would stand for. You know, Fran, Stewart, and let me just do four of them, okay?
Okay.
The first four, the Fran. The F stands for far-seeing, and the reason I chose that word is that I've developed a sense of perspective in my life, and I understand that while all things change, always, there's a more basic way in which we are all one. We're all connected. We're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
The R is for responsible. Since I believe wholeheartedly that thought is creative, I am 100% responsible for 100% of my thoughts, my actions, and my responses at all times. I choose to see myself as someone who lights a candle to dispel the darkness. And if I find darkness around me, I know it's time for me to light another candle.
Hmm.
The A is for accountable. What I promise to do, I do to the best of my ability, using all the resources at my disposal. And the N is for nurturing. I choose to be kind, to encourage others, to lend a helping hand when one is wanted in all circumstances. And in all circumstances, I speak well of people. In all my actions, I look for the highest good that I can offer, and I act from compassion, knowing that other people do not need me to fix them, because I don't believe they are broken.
You know, have you considered being a coach? Because that's one of the prerequisites for coaching, so good for you.
This came about because I was working with a coach for a while, up until his death, and he's the one who said to put something together. He called it a corporate culture position paper.
Whoa.
And I thought, what on earth is that?
Yeah.
And this is what I came up with, and I think it sounds more approachable than corporate culture.
Well, I'm intrigued by the lighting a candle in the darkness. It's so beautiful. It sounds like something a writer would write. So can you maybe give us an example or two of when you've done that?
I'd like rather to give an example of how it can be done.
Yeah.
My mission statement is healing the world through teaching the power of gratitude. And most people, when they think of gratitude, think of, well, you sit down at the end of each day and you write five things for which I'm grateful. In fact, in my murder mysteries, I have my main character do that at the end of each day. And I've had people contact me through my website and thank me for changing their life because I taught them about gratitude.
Wow.
But there's a deeper way, and this is where lighting the candle comes in. There's a deeper way that gratitude can work. It is very easy to be grateful for all the good stuff in our life.
Mm-hmm.
Where the candle comes in is when you look at something in your life that is challenging for you, whether it's a relationship, a physical thing, a, you know, whatever, and you find the gratitude for that. Now, that's not always easy. You know, it would be very nice to go along and say, well, we should just be grateful for everything in our life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Baloney feathers.
Right.
It's hard to do. It's a challenge. And it's a challenge that will open up your life when you do it.
Absolutely. It's Beth. And just, you know, having, for many of us, having looked back on our lives and looking at some of the most challenging times that we have, we can see in hindsight what gifts we were given as a result of going through those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So to remember that in the present is important.
Yeah.
And I'm reminded of Paul in the Bible, who actually is grateful for the thorn in his flesh because it makes him more dependent on God, you know? So it's I think there's a lot to be said there, Fran. You could talk a whole hour on that.
I could, but I'll shut up. Ask me another question.
Okay, fair enough. well, and I know you're compelled to write about social issues, so we want to talk about that a little bit later. But right now, let me just ask, why do you do that? Does that have anything to do with lighting candles and darkness?
Well, it does. And I simply see that as part of my responsibility as a writer. I had this great professor when I was at Illinois Wesleyan University a very long time ago. she told us that if we dared to ask people to spend their valuable time reading or listening to our words, we had better make sure that we gave them full value. And I completely adhere to that philosophy. So if I write good stories, good, interesting stories with interesting characters, but if that's all I can do, I won't make Dr. Marie J. Robinson happy. Well, she's dead now, but, you know, at some level, I would be fulfilling the challenge that she gave to me to give people full value. In fact, at the end of each of my books, I list toll-free numbers and websites where people can go to get more information or get help if they need it. And I just think that's important.
Well, would you say then that she has been part of your motivation for your living such a purposeful life?
Absolutely. I had some really great teachers through grade school, high school, and college. And those people pointed me in the right direction. But the other reason I want to live a purposeful life, though, is that I think I'd bore myself silly if I didn't.
All right.
I realize that what I'm about to say may conflict with many people's feeling about how life flows, but I happen to believe that the soul has many lifetimes to work out the issues that confront us. And I figure if I don't do it in this life, then I'll just have to go through a big mess in the next one. So,
well, that's motivation for getting it right.
Oh, it sure is.
Well, let me ask you about when times get tough for you, because I'm sure they have. We all go through tough times. Because, you know, I like talking about purpose, passion, and perseverance. Mm-hmm. So how do you persevere, Fran?
About, 22 years ago, I decided I was going to commit suicide when the year 2000 rolled around.
Well, that's putting it right out there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then.
You know, it's only with people like you that I talk about this.
Yeah, or, me and the thousands of listeners,
well,
right?
Well, yes, but I mean in an appropriate setting. This is something, something that somebody just, you know, bandies about, because it was a very, looking back, it was a pretty stupid idea, but I couldn't imagine that the world needed me. And I figured that my children would be old enough by then to fend for themselves. I certainly wasn't going to kill myself when they were still young and you know, needed me. But during that time period that I consider looking back to have been the dark night of my soul, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There was nothing, I couldn't think of anything to hang on to. Mm. And yet somehow I did hang on, possibly knowing that I needed to wait until the year 2000. So I just plugged along and kept going. And finally, by the time the year 2000 rolled around, I realized I wanted to live. Mm. Because in those intervening years, I had gotten help. I had discovered a spiritual component to my life that I had never known before.
Wow.
At all. And all of these things, some good friendships that I developed, all of these things came together. And I said, I want to live. And so I had a life ceremony. It was kind of like a wedding. You know, I got dressed up in a pretty dress, and I had two ministers who performed the ceremony, and I had music and food, and, you know, it was just great.
Wow.
And the vow that I took for myself was, I, Fran, promise to trust myself enough to tell myself the truth and to treat myself lovingly, gently, and with respect in all my thoughts, my words, and my actions, whether I am alone or with others. In every action, I will surrender to love, which is my true nature. My connection to my God and my respect for myself will always be more important than any issue. If anything unlike love comes up, I will look for the highest and best in myself. I will hold myself in my heart as I learn to speak, experience, and be responsible for my own reality. I will listen to my heart and will keep love conscious, active, and present. I will celebrate life.
Fran, that brings tears to my eyes, and I want to thank you for sharing that with me and Beth and our listeners. That could very well be that there's somebody who's listening right now who really needed to hear that.
I'm honored to do that, and if anyone needs to contact me, fran@franstewart.com. I'll send you the text of this. I would be very happy to do that.
Fran, and I would love to have it. It's Beth.
Certainly.
I will contact you.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. The funny thing is that today's the 24th, isn't it? The ceremony was March 25th, 10 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm just about on my 10th anniversary of truly living my life the way I want to live it.
Well, we celebrate with you. And at this point, I want to dive into your reading and writing practices, if we may. Is that okay?
Okay,
is this a good
sure.
time? Okay.
Writers love to talk about their books.
Well, let's do that. And, of course, we've already set up the fact that your books have meaning, that you write about social issues. So I know we'll get into that. But is there one book that has changed your life? And if so, why?
I would have to say it was Simple Abundance by Sarah Banbrathnick. It's one of those, you read a little chapter a day, you know, January 1st, January 2nd. By the time she got to January 15th, I think it was, or 17th, she said, keep a gratitude list. Hmm. And I started doing it, first time I'd ever heard of that. And once I started concentrating on what was good in my life, I think I began to attract even more good into my life. That was the major reason I was able to shift from being suicidal to wanting to affirm life. And I'd also like to mention John Kabat-Zinn's book, Wherever You Go, There You Are.
I know that one.
That's that's a great one. I'd say those two books.
I knew that as an expression. My brother says it, and it cracks me up, but I didn't realize it was a book.
Well, I think he took the expression. Well, I don't know if he invented it or not. I have no idea, but I've heard it both ways. But I read those both at that time when I was coming up on the year 2000, and they changed me.
Well, I'm grateful they did.
I changed me as a result of reading those, I should say.
There you go. Beth, that has a lot to do with beliefs, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I was going to say something, and I said, I've probably said enough about that for today.
No, I
knew you were thinking it. It was my intuition.
Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and talk then, Fran, about the deep social issues that you concern yourself with in each of your books and your Biscuit McKee mystery series. So can you tell us a little bit, please, about those topics?
Sure. One of the most pervasive, if you will, of those topics is bipolar disorder. There are 5 books in the series so far. I'm writing the 6th one now.
Mm.
Biscuit McKee is a librarian in a small town in northeastern Georgia, and Marmalade is the orange library cat. That's where I got the title for the first book, Orange is Marmalade. Now, Biscuit has a sister named Glaze who fought depression for many years until she was diagnosed and helped. My own sister is bipolar, and she went through just horrible, horrible years until she was diagnosed in her 40s. So mm-hmm. I use her as a consultant for my books to be sure mm-hmm. that I get the parts about depression right. The second book, Yellow is Legal Pads, talks about a woman who was raped in the 1950s at a time when women didn't feel free to report such events. And then Green is a Garden Hose. The third book deals with suicide. It's a murder. I mean, I write murder mysteries. I don't write suicide mysteries. But the murder is set up to look like a suicide. So
okay.
I have a lot of chance to explore that topic through the book. And once again, my sister helped me get the dialogue about suicide prevention, get it right.
Mm.
Then the fourth book is Blue as Blue Jeans. And it's about the long-term effects of childhood sexual abuse on 2 of the women in the town.
Wow.
One of them made some good choices, life-affirming choices, and the other one made choices that caused a lot of difficulty in her life and in the lives of those around her. The events in Blue are not at all like what I went through as a child, but the feelings of betrayal and of fear and the lack of a sense of boundaries that can result from early abuse, all those are a common thread that many women have to deal with. And then in the 5th book, Indigo as an Iris, one of the things I liked most about that book was that I showed a natural death early in the book and described it much as I had experienced my father's death in 2002. He died on March 22nd. March is a meaningful month for me.
Fran, my father died on March 22nd.
Oh my gosh.
In 1999, so we just passed that anniversary, didn't we?
We overlapped.
I will always remember
you. You were thinking of the anniversary of his death while I was experiencing my father's death.
Wow.
Oh. I love those connections. I have to say that after sitting with him and watching that dying process, I'm just dying at all. And I wanted to put that in my book because in this country we tend to sanitize death. We insulate ourselves from it. And so many people have never sat with a loved one and held their hand or, you know, stroked their forehead or brushed their hair while they're dying.
Right.
But it's something that connects us to life when we do it. And
mm-hmm.
so I wanted to write about it so that people could see,
wow,
what the possibilities are. So those are my 5 mysteries so far.
And you have a 6th that you're working on now? It's not part of your series. It's a standalone mystery, right?
No, I have a 6th book in the series that I'm working on now, but I have a 6th published mystery that's called a standalone. That means it's not part of the mystery series.
Okay.
It's called A Slaying Song Tonight,
mm-hmm.
S-L-A-Y-I-N-G.
Of course.
And I have to say this. It's about a killer whose favorite song is Jingle Bells.
Uh-huh.
And it is to ride and sing a slaying.
Of course.
I'm sorry.
Of course.
Yeah, that's a groaner. And it is kind of a fun book, and there's a wicked twist halfway through it that I had so much fun writing. But there is an underlying message of the healing power of forgiveness.
Oh.
And that's what I want people to get at a gut level as they're reading this book.
Yeah. Well, Fran, it's Beth. I can't wait to read some of your books. And I actually know some other people who would love them as well. So that's
Oh, good.
So, Joy, thank you for introducing me to Fran.
It was the right and proper thing to do, clearly. Mm-hmm. Well, Fran, let me just switch a little bit. I'm concerned about the time. We only have 15 more minutes and several things that we want to go over.
Oh.
So I know you love to encourage new writers. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the ways that you do that in addition to eQuil?
Well, I work as a freelance editor, and I don't do any advertising for it, really. I just, the word kind of spreads, word of mouth, or if I'm doing a workshop or something, people, you know, get in touch with me afterwards for that. What I do when I'm editing someone else's book is I, instead of just, quote, fixing their book for them, what I would rather do is uphold a standard of excellence by encouraging, by cajoling that writer into bringing out the best writing he or she has to offer. And I really enjoy the editing because I see such a wide range of books. One author that I'm working with now is writing a book about the years that he worked at an airport. Don't you always wonder what those airport screeners are thinking about? You know? So I got to see that. Another one is by a woman who is a vet in a cattle slaughtering plant. And her mystery is set in that in that place. I've learned more about the cattle slaughtering
abattoirs
than I really want to know, but
of course.
And someone else is a young person who's writing an epic, you know, one of these three-volume epic stories that is going to be, I hope it's the next Harry Potter. Just
cool.
Incredible
stuff. But I can, through the discussions I have with them and through the comments and suggestions that I can make, I can help them to see what their possibilities are as a writer. And I love doing that.
Well, that's great. And if people want to get in touch with you to so that perhaps you can encourage them or maybe to buy your books, what do we do?
Well, you can always go to my website, franstewart.com, click on order books, and then that links to my publisher's website, and you can order autographed copies or whatever. Or ask for my books at an independent bookstore. I love to encourage people to use independent bookstores. We need those. And, you know, if you love a bookstore, express your love at the cash register.
No.
That's the way I always put it. Whether you're buying my book or anyone else's.
Oh.
We need those independent bookstores.
Well, very good.
If anyone wants to contact me, fran@franstewart.com.
And that's STEWART.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Fran, we just have a little bit left for the interview, though I want to involve you in something else. Can you tell us what's coming up in the near future for you?
Well, I mentioned the sixth book in the series, but that won't really be out until probably the fall of this year. But just in a couple of weeks, people are going to be able to get from the tip of my pen a workbook for writers. You mentioned that for 6 years I've written a monthly column for the Atlanta Writers Club, and now we've taken 6 years worth of those articles, put them together in a book, and for each article I have included an exercise.
Wow.
That's based on that article. It is George Weinstein called it a master class for writers.
Wow.
And I am so excited about this book. It's from the tip of my pen, a workbook for writers. And in just very shortly, it's not up there on my website now, but in a week or two it should be up and people will be able to order it.
Well, it sounds like if you hadn't left enough of a legacy already, you're about ready to leave yet another one. So thank you for doing that. Well, Fran, in the moment or two that we have left, let me just ask you, if you had to narrow down the words that you live by, what would you say?
You know how powerful the I am statement is? All in capital letters, I am. It's a creative term. So I think my words would be, I am 100% responsible for my actions and my responses.
Good credo.
I've got another one, but maybe I can mention that
yeah.
along with the PEP thing.
Oh, okay. All right. And we'll segue into that. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Fran, for doing this part of the interview. But now we are going to move into the purposeful exploration practice. Beth, you know, I think maybe you should have named it something else. That's hard to say, but we'll go with it. It's good tongue twisting. So anyway, we do a purposeful exploration practice, and Fran has graciously agreed to help us design one for you, our listeners, for this week. And it's going to be one that will help you ponder why you're here on Earth and how you can make a difference. So Fran, would you like to go ahead at this point and do the honors?
I would be delighted. I had so much fun thinking about how I could put something like this together. And what I'd like for you to do is to think back to one of those first questions Jory asked me today about how I described who I am. Take the letters of your full name, and for each letter, choose a word that is truly meaningful for you, one that expresses part of what you see as your purpose in life, or what you want to shine out to the people around you. In fact, once you've done that, I wish you'd email me the results. Fran@franstewart.com. I'd love to hear from you, and of course, let Jory and Beth know too.
Mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful. Thank you, Fran. And you know, another thing that people could even do with that is once they get that list, you know, I am creative, whatever it is, the words that they're using, you know, they could start each day saying, "How can I be more
meaningful?
Mm-hmm. How can I be more far-reaching? How can I be more bold?"
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And just kind of put that out there, or better yet, even make a plan to do something more creative or bold or far-reaching today.
That's great, Beth. That puts in a whole other dimension on it.
Yeah.
That's good at that kind of thing, Fran. You all need to have a conversation. You guys are going to have to get to know each other.
We'll do that.
Well, let me move into co-creating vision. I want to just tell you a little bit about what we do here on this show. We really want this to be an experience that we co-create with our listeners, and here's how we'd love for you to participate. Number one, join us each week by phone, online, or by listening to the on-demand shows, which means archives. Number two, try out the purposeful exploration practice. See what happens and let us know what insights and results you come up with. Number three, tell everybody you know whom you think might enjoy being with us and enjoy contributing to what we create together. This week, we ask that you please invite one person to listen to this archive or to any of the others. Number four, please send us your suggestions for topics and guest speakers by sending us messages on blogtalkradio.com or emailing us, and we'll give you those addresses later. And then number five, please help Beth and me help at least 2,010 people live a more authentic, purposeful, and joyful life this year. Beth, is there anything else? Well, actually, Beth, why don't you tell our listeners about next week's guest?
I will. Well, as I mentioned, it's going to be Gail Jones, and Gail's actually going to talk about the core beliefs that block people from living the life that they long to live. Gail's an intuitive coach. She's also, Fran, a very insightful writer and author, and a savvy PR consultant as well. And she specializes in helping people move successfully through life transition. She's a fabulous coach. She's been my coach, and I actually give Gail credit for helping me move from the corporate world into becoming a coach. She came to me very synchronistically at that time when I didn't even know what a coach was, and I found Gail. And she helped me to work on a lot of my own beliefs. So she'll give you some tips on how you can become more aware of the limiting beliefs that affect your life, and then choose to let them go and create more empowering beliefs that actually can enable us to live a more joyful and purposeful life. So be sure to tune in next week for Gail Jones. And one reminder too, Joy, I just want to let people know that we currently have openings for two True Purpose teleseminars that we're starting in April. Joy and I are doing this together. And this would be an excellent opportunity for you to get really clear about who you are and what you're designed to do in the world. It's an awesome process, one that Tim Kelly developed, very balanced between left brain and right brain, ego and soul. And these will be small groups of four, so that in those small groups, you not only can get personalized attention, but you also get the benefits of being in a group. The teleseminars are 8 weeks, and Joy and I, as I said, who are both licensed True Purpose coaches, will be teaching them. And if you're feeling tempted to do this or find out more about it, or you know somebody who's, do you know someone who's ready to step more fully into the life they were meant to live?
Ooh.
Who wouldn't? You know, I would invite you to email me today at Beth Scanzani, that's BethScanzani, at AOL.com, or Jory, and you can reach Jory at Jory@womenfindpurpose.com, and then we can give you the details offline.
I think that intuitive hit thing really is perfect for this, don't you, Beth?
Absolutely.
If you're feeling right now that this would be something you might be interested in, and we don't have set beginning dates, what we would do first is see who's interested and then work out something. So it would be great. We have several people already who are interested, and we just need to finalize who else would be in the group before we start, you know, startup dates and when it would be, which day of the week, what time, et cetera, et cetera. So please do email us if you're interested. Well, at this point, let me just say you've been listening to Heart and Soul with Jory Fisher, a life, career, and true purpose coach from Lynchburg, Virginia, with Beth Scanzani, a life leadership and true purpose coach from Rockport, Massachusetts, and with Fran Stewart, an award-winning author from Hog Mountain, Georgia. We'd like to leave you with this quote for the week, and Fran, I'm wondering if you would do the honors.
I'd love to. It's from Louisa May Alcott, who said, "I am no longer afraid of storms, for I am learning to sail my own ship."
Oh, I love that.
And I'd like to encourage everyone listening, sail your own ship through the coming years. It's a lovely way to live.
Mm.
Thank you, Jory. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Jory and Beth.
Well, thank you, Fran.
And thank you so much, everyone, listening live and on the recording for being with us today. We especially want to thank our wonderfully creative and soulful guest, Fran Stewart, for sharing her wisdom and insights with us today. Remember, you can reach Fran through her website, www.franstewart.com, and you can purchase her books through her website and, as you heard her encourage, at independent bookstores. I invite you to visit my website at womenfindpurpose.com, where you can listen to our archive shows. And I invite you to email me at jory@womenfindpurpose.com or beth@bethscanzani@aol.com if you'd like to share your questions, ideas, or comments with us. And please let me know if you'd like to receive my weekly announcements of our upcoming shows on Heart and Soul. Finally, I'd like to invite you to consider making this show a favorite on Blog Talk Radio by clicking on the little red heart marked FAV under our show name. So, Beth, would you like to say goodbye?
Bye, everybody. Have a wonderful, purposeful week. And bye, Fran. Thank you again.
Oh, my pleasure.
And Fran, you want to say goodbye?
No, I don't want to say goodbye. I want to keep going.
Aww.
But since the radio clock says we have to, I will just say I hope, I know that we're all connected in one way or another, and I hope we're all keeping aware of that connection.
What a wonderful guest you've been. Thank you so much for playing with us. Well, until next week then, listeners, may God bless you, keep you, guide you, and inspire you to be all you are designed to be. Thank you for joining us. See you next week. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.